Okay, so we are up to the Mishnah at the bottom, in the beginning of the Perek. Hamevi. Chavtes on my base. Yeah. Hamevi kada yayin imokim lemokim. A person is schlepping jugs of wine from one place to another on Yom Tov. So the idea is to not make it look like you're doing work and weekday, as a weekday activity, you have to make it look like it's a shinui. Is therefore leyaviim b'sal of a kupa, you shouldn't bring them in the basket or in the box, which is the normal way that you schlep things during the week. But you carry it on your shoulders, which you'll carry a smaller number. You don't normally carry jugs of wine on your shoulder, so therefore it's a shinui, and therefore it'll be obvious that you're doing it for Yom Tov. That's what it looks like. Because it looks like you're heading out to the warehouse in the back of Rishon. So therefore you carry the bottles one or two at a time, then it's obvious that you're doing it for the Kiddush. If you're carrying a carton, you could be selling it, buying it, whatever. So either carry it on your shoulder, or the fun of, or just hold it in your hands in front of you, but not in the normal manner of schlepping. Similarly, if you're taking straw, this is for your animal, or you're going to use it for fuel for your fire. Don't put it in a box or a container and sling it over your shoulder, which is the normal manner. Carry in front of you with your hands. So it should look different. It doesn't look like you're doing it the normal way. You're allowed to start taking supply. So if you have a pile of straw, a bale of hay, you're allowed to start using it. So even though till now it was bundled up nicely, so it looks like it was in storage, or what didn't look like you were in the middle of using it or about to use it, nevertheless you're allowed to take from that brand new bale of hay on Yom Tov to use for firewood. But not the wood that's out the back. The word muktza here means the backyard. You have a place out the back where you chuck things that you're not using, and that's why it's called muktza. So you can take the straw, even though it's a bale of hay that you weren't going to use, that you didn't look like you were going to use, but you're not allowed to take from the wood that's out the backyard. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between straw and wood. Okay, so from the beginning of the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a brisa. So regarding this thing that so we just said the Mishnah, which says that when you schlep things on Yom Tov, you should schlep them in a way that it doesn't look like you'd normally do during the week. It should be you should make a change. So if you're carrying wine, you should not carry it in a box, but you should carry them just in your hands or on your shoulder, etc. So the Gemara now asks, in the beginning of the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a brisa, is mutter. If it's impossible to do it any differently, then you're allowed to. So you're supposed to try to make it look different, but if there's some things that you just can't carry any way differently than you normally do in the week, then you're allowed to. Is iskin Rava b'mechuza? So Rava had some practical suggestions for people in mechuza. So he made the takana as follows. The daru b'doichka, something that a person normally carries on his shoulders, so it's a lot of bother. It's a schlep. Lidroi biragla. He should use this thing called a ragla, which is some kind of an implement. Rashi says it's a fork in French. It's usually the word that means pitchfork, but I don't think you can carry a bottle of wine with a pitchfork. So
you can carry a barrel.
A barrel with a pitchfork?
Yeah, in other words, if you've got to put the barrel on the side, you've got to three
prongs
on the side. It's a little
pitchfork. Oh, okay. Alright, so anyway, so you do it.
Think of
a pitchfork with prongs, and you put the jug on it, and you carry it like that. Right.
Like a trolley.
What are you carrying it?
Like a pulley.
It's a pulley. Yeah. That sounds nice, but that's not what the way they explain it. So the idea is here that he's actually making it easier. The Rashi explains the whole arichas over here, that you're actually, A, you're doing a shinui, and B, you're making it easier, it's less effort. So that's the way Rava decided that they should do it. and a didora berigla, things that you normally carry with this pitchfork thing, lidro beigra. Then you do it using a two-man pole litter type of thing, which is, again, makes it easier. Two people are schlepping it instead of one. So again, it's a shinui and it's easier. The daru be'igra, those things that are normally carried in that manner, lidru be'akfa. Then you use the akfa. I forgot what that is. And the daru
be'akfa.
A handheld pole, and I lost it. Yeah, handheld pole. And the daru be'akfa nifre sudralu. Things that you normally use a handheld pole, you should put a cloth on top of it just to make it look different from the way you normally do it. Yeah, akfa is a might be a dayim. Yeah, mishum shinui. So Rashi says that when you do the akfa, you're not actually making it any easier. So nevertheless, you have to make a shinui. At least you don't make it worse. So the first few, Rava worked out a way to make it both a shinui and make it less effort. The last couple, he couldn't think of any way to make it less effort because they were already pretty easy. But at least make a shinui and don't make it any more effort. So that's all the different ways to make a shinui on Yom Tov. Im lo yefshar shari. The conclusion Rashi said was, he told everybody, if it's impossible to do it with this shinui, that you're not going to be able to carry the thing, then you can just do it in the normal manner. To Omar Mar, as we learned before, im yefshar l'shan is mutter. If you can't change, then it's mutter. Omar le Rav Chana bar Rava, the Rav Ashi, is Omar Rabban, and the rabbis have said, as much as possible to do things differently on Yom Tov, you should do things differently. So that's what the rabbi said. What about Hahani Noshi? What about those women? The Kamalian Chatzvayu Maya Biyematova. They fill up their water pails, their barrels with water on Yom Tov. They don't do any shinui. They go to the well and they fill up the water. And we don't say anything to them. Why don't we tell them to do a shinui and do it somehow differently? It's on my lay. So Rav Ashi said back to Rav Chanan, Mishum lo yefshar, because it's impossible. Which we said, if it's impossible to change, it's mutter. Why is it impossible? Hey Chilevi, what are you going to tell them to do? Demalia b'chatzva rabba, demalia b'chatzva zuta. If a woman uses a big barrel, you're going to tell her to use small barrels instead? Kamafsha b'hilucha. Then she's doing extra, you're actually making extra work because if it's smaller containers, you're going to have to have more trips to the well. Yeah, and if you go to the well once too often, then it's more effort. The whole idea is you're not allowed to increase the effort. You have to either reduce it or keep it the same. But if you make somebody one trip with a big barrel, you might need to take five trips with small jugs. So you're making extra walking, extra effort for a number of trips you have to make. So you can't do that. So you'll tell me, okay, but at least the woman who's got who uses normally small jugs, let her use a big one so it's only one trip. Then she's got to schlep a big heavy barrel and it's more effort that way. So either way you're going to do that, it's going to be more effort, therefore you can't do it. You'll tell me that she should cover it with, Rashi says it's a wooden covering which they put on jugs, the nichtema, so she should cover it. Zimnin denafel, the asilasuya. It might fall off because it's not secure, and then she'll end up carrying it, even though carrying on Yom Tov is mutter. You're trying to make a shinui to reduce malacha, and you're going to end up doing an extra malacha, albeit one that would be mutter if necessary, but you're trying to avoid doing extra. Tikterei, so you'll tell me tie it on. If you're worried it's going to fall off, tie it on. It won't fall off. So he says he can't do that. Zimnin demifsik, because it might, the knot might come undone. And she will retie it. And tying is also malacha. So you're going to end up increasing malachas. Tifrei sudrale. You say, just put a little cloth on it, like we had the last bit with Rava, just to put something on it, just to make a shinui. Again, zimnin de mitmish b'maya. The cloth, because she's drawing water, if you tell her to put a cloth on top, the cloth might become wet from the water. And she's going to end up squeezing it which is another malacha of dosh. So no matter what you do, you're actually going to increase the effort or increase the chance of doing more malachas. Hilkach lo yefshar. Therefore, there's no other way, and therefore that's why they do it normally, and we don't tell them not to. Okay, so that was Rav Chanan bar Rava tried with Rav Ashi, and he got nowhere. Now, Amale Rava bar Rav Chanan la baya. That was Rav Chanan bar Rava. This is Rava bar Rav Chanan. I don't know if they're related. That sounds good, though. Rava bar Rav Chanan says to Abaye, Tznah, we learned in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Moed Cotton, which is also brought in Megillah. Ein mitapchin, ve'ein misapkin, ve'ein miraktin. On Chol HaMoed, and actually on Yontif as well, on Yontif, ein mitapchin is you don't clap. Mitapchin means to clap, and misapkin means when you bang your hand against your leg, like to the music. The ein miraktin and you don't dance. And all of these reasons is because you might end up fixing your guitar strings. If you're dancing to the music and the instrument breaks, you might end up fixing the instrument. So therefore, we don't do any of these things on Yontif, says the Mishnah. This is Rav Chanan's question, Rava's question to Abaye. But Va'idna nowadays, the chachazina on the avdan hachi, we see that everyone does it. People clap and bang their leg and dance on Yontif. And we don't tell them anything. Why don't we stop them? They're doing against what it says in the Mishnah. So he says back to him, well, tamecha, according to you, Hada Omar, it's either Rava or Rabba or somebody, said, Rava said, Lele Sevinisha Puma Delachi. We had an Erevin. So if you remember, we had a Mavui. An Erevin, you had a Mavui, the dead end street or the laneway, and you put on the end of it a pole to make a heker, so people should remember that they can't carry it to Shusarabim. And you're allowed to carry inside that mavo if they then did a shittuf or they shared the bread, etc. So you put the pole on the end, and Rava said you should not sit exactly at the entrance where the pole is, mamish on the line. Why not? Because you're sitting right on the line and you're holding something in your hand, dilmo migandale chefetz, the thing might fall out of your hand and go just over the line outside the mavoi, outside the lechi, and you'll end up carrying it back in. In the brackets, he says you'll carry 4 ounces of rabbim. That's probably not going to be the case, but you'll carry it back in. You'll carry it somewhere. You'll do some halacha. Yeah, so therefore, they said, don't go right in the borderline of the lechi because you're likely to drop something and forget. Vahani noshi, but what about those women? The shaklan chatzvayu, they take their barrels of water. Va'azdan v'yasvin apulma demavua, and they go and sit there Shabbos afternoon, and they have their farbrengins right in the entrance of the mavui next to the lechi. V'le'armin, and we don't tell them not to. So what are you asking me, kashus? The Mishnah says don't do it, and everyone does it, and we leave them alone. You have other kashus. We see lots of things that the rabbi said don't do it, and people do it. And we don't make a fuss about it. Ella, what's the rule? Hanach lehem liYisrael, leave these Jews alone. Mutav shayu shayigin vayu mizidin. It's better that they do it b'shayig by not knowing than doing it on purpose. In other words, when you have something that everybody's used to doing, and they're not going to listen to you anyway if you suddenly tell them stop doing it, and all they're going to do is instead of doing it without knowing that it's wrong, they're going to hear that you tell them it's osur, and they're going to do it anyway. It's better that they do it b'shayig than that they do it b'mezid. So that's why we don't tell the women not to sit at the entrance of the mavui, as hachanami, and similarly about clapping. So the same thing is about the clapping and the dancing. Hanach lam liYisrael, leave them alone. Mutav shayu shegin v'ayu mizidim. It's better that they do it without knowing that it's wrong than to tell them it's wrong and then they do it anyway. V'hani mili b'dirabonon. So there seems to be Rava still talking, telling you that it's only things that are also midirabanan. That's when you say better to do it by accident than on purpose. Avul b'deraisa loy. But if they're doing an issa deraisa, then you have to tell them anyway. Even if they might not listen, bad luck. Issa deraisa, you can't just leave them. So that was what Rava said. But the Gemara's conclusion is loyhi. It ain't so. Leishna b'deraisa v'leishna b'derabanan. Even, no difference. Even if it's an issa deraisa, we don't tell them off. If it's likely they won't listen to you, it's still better that they do it b'shoig than b'mezid, even if it's an issa d'oraisa. So obviously you've got a judgment call about whether they're going to listen to you or not. Because obviously if they would listen to you, you've got to tell people that you're doing something that's awesome. If this is a case where you're likely that they won't listen to you anyway, so you're not actually going to stop them from doing it. All you're going to do is make them be b'mezid instead of b'shoig. So he says, even if it's an issa d'oraisa, you do not tell them. How do I know that? Says the Gemara, the Tosefes Yom Kippurim Deraisa, you have to add on extra time in Yom Kippur. So instead of starting mamish at sunset when Yom Kippur comes in, you have to start a bit early. Yeah, and then that is min ha-Torah. It's learned out from the pasuk b'sisha b'chodesh. Yeah, on the ninth of the month, it says that's when you afflict yourself. So you have to, a little bit of the ninth, you have to start fasting a little bit early before the actual time on the diary. Yeah, and that's min ha-Torah. V'ochli v'shosu ad shechashecha. And people, nevertheless, they eat and drink up till dark, till it comes in. Rashi says it's lav dafke up to dark. Oh, maybe it was Tosfos. Yeah, that means close to dark, right up to the end. They wouldn't do it when it's a suffix lilo mamish, because people are not that people are understand that, but they do it past the time when the Chachamim said you should stop. And we don't stop them. So it means even though it's deraisa, we still say it's better they do it by accident than to do it on purpose. So that's the conclusion. Okay. Okay, two dots further. So we said in the Mishnah, Maschilin by Ramas HaTevin, if you have a bale of hay that has been baled up, if that's the word to use, and it's nicely packaged, and now you want to start using it, so you take, it's the Maschilin means it's the first time you're taking from that bale. So you've got something that's been in storage, and now you're going to start using it. So we said you're allowed to do that, but not the wood that you've got stored out the back. So Rav Kahana says, from the fact that you're allowed to start taking the hay, you could start something that was previously in storage. You can decide on Yom Tov to start taking from for the first time. Is money. Who's the one who says you're allowed to do that? Rav Shimon, the last lay muktzah. It must be Rav Shimon, because he holds there's no muktzah. Mostly there's no muktzah anyway. Yeah. So that means that even though when Shabbos came in, or when Yom Tov came, when Yom Tov came in, it was in storage, and that means you had in your mind not to use it, because you don't use things that are in storage, and you'd changed your mind on Yom Tov. Rav Shimon says, doesn't matter, you can use it. Is if that's the case, Ema Sefer, what about the next bit? Avaloi be'etim shebemukta. You cannot take the wood that was, you had the wood piled up in the piles up the back, so that means, again, the same idea, that you weren't, they were in sort of in storage, they were set aside, you weren't thinking of using them on Yom Tov. Now you decided that you are, so you're not allowed to. Who says you're not allowed to? Asan Rabbi Yehuda. That seems to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Islam Muktzah, because he says that things are Muktzah. If you had in mind not to use it when Yom Tov came in, that means it's Muktzah, it's set aside, it's out of your mind, and therefore you can't use it. So how come? So it seems to be a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, Hacha, this thing about the wood at the back is not talking about firewood, that you had your firewood out the back, and therefore you can start taking it on Yom Tov. But he's talking about ba'arzi v'ashuchi askinon. Rashi says it's a cedar tree and a female cedar tree. I didn't know trees had males and females, but I guess they do. So these types of wood are askinon. So this is not for firewood, but this is for building. So you had the builders came, and they piled up the wood out the back, ready for building, yeah, and then you decided on Yom Tov to use it for a firewood. So that you cannot do. Why? Because it's muktzah machmas chisorin kis, and I feel it Rav Shimon moida. So when we say the rule that Rav Shimon holds as no muktzah, what he means is that there's nothing, things are not muktzah by default. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have in mind before Yom Tov that you're going to use it, otherwise it's muktzah. According to Rav Shimon, things that are normally used, even if you didn't have it in mind, yeah, so if you had firewood at the back, even though before Yom Tov you weren't planning to use it, you can change your mind and decide to use it on Yom Tov. But there are some cases where a person would specifically say, in sort of the opposite between lav dafke and dafke lav. Yeah, you dafke don't want to use it. It's not that you didn't think about it at all and therefore it's booked by default. This isn't by default. Rav Shimon agrees that if you actually specifically say I'm not going to use it, then it is mukta. And this, because these beams are going to be used for your renovation, yeah, then you specifically had in mind not to burn them in your fireplace, yeah, because you don't want to use the beams that you're going to use for building your house. You would dafke not use it for firewood. So therefore, if you change your mind on Yom Tov, that is really muktzah, and Rav Shimon will agree you can't do it. It's called muktzah machmas chisorin kis because it's a loss of money. Because these are valuable, they're the woods that's already, whatever you do to wood to make it suitable for building, Yeah. So therefore, you've set it aside for your building. Then it's a big loss if you burn that wood just for the fireplace and you have to go and buy some more. So you don't use it. So even Reb Shimon will agree with that. So that's the difference between the Tevin and the Muktzah. So that's the first version. Ikka d'masnei la seifa. Some have the same question, but the same contradiction, but they start from the end for some reason. That what? That avalei be'etzim shebemuktzah. It starts off that Rav Kahana started off by looking at the end first. What does it say at the end? That you cannot take the wood that's out the back on Yontif. And Omer Rav Kahana zayse meres ein maschilin ba'etzet chilo. So Rav Kahana says that tells you that you cannot take things that were in storage beforehand and start using it on Yom Tov. Is Mani Rabbi Yehuda he? There is the Muktzah. So that's the safer looks like it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that there's such a thing as Muktzah. And since it was in storage beforehand, he didn't have it in mind, therefore you can't use it. Is a Mareisha, but what about the first bit? Maschilin baramasatev, and yet it says you're allowed to start taking the straw. So same contradiction, but he sort of worked it backwards. And that means, according to the first version, he wants to say that Rab Shimon is right. And how come the Sefer doesn't seem to match? And according to the second version, he wants to say Rabbi Yehuda is right, and how come the Reisha doesn't seem to match? So he says, yeah, because Eimer Reisha, Maschilim Arama Sateven, that you're allowed to start with the straw, Asal and Rab Shimon, the less than Muktzah. The Reisha appears to be according to Rab Shimon, who says there's no Muktzah. So the Gemara will answer, no, it's all Rabbi. So according to the first version, we concluded it's all Rab Shimon, and the wood is also because it's for building. And the Sefer, in the Ikka d'Yamri, the conclusion is that it's according to Rab Yehuda. And why is it? Why is it in the Arama Sateven? Why are you allowed to take the straw if it's Rabbi Yehuda? If it was in storage, l'chayr it should be muktzah. Valhasam betivna sarya. We're talking about where it was rotten straw, yeah, and therefore you weren't going to feed it. You weren't going to feed it to your animal. You were always going to use it for firewood, and therefore even before Yom Tov came in, you had in mind to use it for firewood, for fire straw. And so even Rabbi Yehuda will say that it's not muktzah then. Fred the Gemara Tavna Sarya, what do you mean you were going to use it for firewood? Chazi Latina, you might use it for building. So in other words, what are we trying to answer here? That you really had in mind to use it for your fireplace in the first place. That's why it's not muktzah. Why? Just because your animal can't eat it, you would use it for building, because you make use straw for the mortar to put in between the bricks. So the Gemara answers the Ispa Koitzim. It's got thorns in it. It's smelly straw that has thorns in it. So you can't feed it to your animal, and you can't use it to make the mortar either, because there's thorns in it, and you'll cut your hands. And therefore, the only thing that you're ever going to do with it is firewood. And therefore, that was already planned from before. So when you decide to use it on Yom Tov, it's nothing new, and therefore it wasn't muktzah in the first place. So that's how he explains. So according to the second version, he's saying the whole thing is Rabbi Yehuda. According to the first version, he's saying the whole thing is Rabbi Shimon. The famous machlokes about whether there's muktzah or not. Okay, turn the page. We have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein noitlim etzim min hasukkah ela min hasamachla." This may be familiar to you because we learned sukkah not so long ago. Now, at the moment, we're going to assume that this sukkah here is not a sukkah of the Yom Tov of sukkahs. It just means the little hut you have at the back, that you sit in just because it's nice to sit out the back. Yeah, the what do you call it? Gazebo with walls. If you like, and tzchach. So it looks like a sukkah, but it's not a Yom Tov sukkah. It's just a place that you happen to be like to sit. So you can't take the wood off the sukkah, but you can take only the wood that's nearby. We'll see in a minute what exactly do we mean here. So the question is, says the Gemara, Maishtim in a sukkah, why? We're assuming that what's the reason why you can't take the wood off? So in other words, it's Yom Tov, and you want to use the wood for your firewood or something. So you take off the wood that's sitting on the roof of the sukkah. So why can't you do it? The kasasar ayala, because what you're doing is you're destroying an ayala, a tent, a structure. Just like you're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to what's the opposite of build?
Destroy.
Demolish. That's the word I wanted. Thank you. You can't demolish. So you're demolishing an ayala, a structure, and that's why you can't take the wood off the top. Is min hasamachla nami. So we thought that samachla means that it's still up there. but it's just next to. So in other words, you've got the real roof of your gazebo, and then you've got other wood that you put next to it. So it's not part of the roof, but it's nearby up there. So he says, if you take, that means what you weren't sitting under it. So he says, well, how does that help you? Is namikasasarayallah, even if it's next to it, you're still, even if you're not sitting under it, but when you take it off, you're still destroying the structure because it's forming a roof. So how can you take it off on Yom Tov? Is Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, my samuch, samuch hadfanis. It doesn't mean next to the schach on top, up there. It means next to the walls. So you can't take the wood that's on the roof because you're destroying the structure. But if you've got bits of wood next to the walls, then you could take that wood for your firewood. So that was Rav Shmuel says. Rav Manchi Amar Afilo Tema B'She'ein Samach L'Dfanis. Even you can go back to your first assumption that it doesn't mean next to the walls, but as Rashi points out, what it means is that it's taka next to the schach.
And keep, top, I think.
On top, yeah. It's up on the roof. So why is it okay? Because Kitanya hi basuraisa. We're talking about where it was bundled up. So you didn't unbundle it. So picture a sukkah with schach on it. Not for the mitzvah, but just it looks the same, yeah? So if you put just extra pieces of wood next to the schach, it's really the same thing as schach. Just you thought it was different wood, but it looks like the same wood. So you can't take that because you're demolishing the structure. But if you had a bundle of wood that you put up there to dry out, and you didn't even bother unbundling it, yeah, then it's quite clearly not part of the structure. It's just up there to dry out. So then you can take it. Right? So if you unbundled it, it becomes part of the structure, you cannot take it. But if you put it up there still bundled, so it's clearly not there to be part of the roof, so when you take it off, you're not demolishing the roof either. So that's Rav Manchi answers. Tanya Rav Chir Bar Yosef Kamei Rav Yochanan, Rav Chir Bar Yosef quoted a brisa before Rav Yochanan, and the brisa said, Ein neitlin etzim min hasukah, ela min hasamuchla, so that's the same as the Mishnah, but Rav Shimon is matir. Rav Shimon says you're allowed to, and we'll see in a minute what's going on, because Mitzad Muktze, it's not a problem according to Rav Shimon. What about the destroying the structure? So we'll see in a second. V'shavin, v'sukah sachag, v'chag, but everyone agrees that if we're talking about a sukkah, which is a sukkah, a Yom Tov sukkah that was made for sukkahs, shasura, that you're not allowed to take anything off the roof on sukkahs. Vim hisna la'akol afitznoi, if you made a tznai that he's not being makse, he's not setting aside it for this wood on the roof for the whole of Yom Tov, then his condition works, and he can say, I'm dafke not making it mukta for the all of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, and therefore he can take it off. Okay, so that's the brisa. We don't understand too much of that brisa, so the Gemara is going to go through it now. So, first problem, Rab Shimon Matir, what do you mean Rab Shimon Matir? The problem of taking it off the roof is not mukta. The problem of taking it off the roof is that you're demolishing a structure. So Rab Shimon doesn't allow you to demolish structures on Yom Tov. He allows you to, he says there's no mukta. That's Midat Torah, but Midat Rabbanan you can't demolish either. Yeah, that means Seisar Al Tzolem and Asliv Nois. Yeah, that's true. So how can you say Rab Shimon is matir v'hakasasaray Allah? He's demolishing the structure. It's not mukta. Okay, there's no mukta, but you still can't demolish a structure according to Rab Shimon. It's Amr of Nachum Bayitzak Haka Besukah Nefelas Askinon. Here we're talking about where the sukkah has fallen down. So the sukkah fell down, and so you're not demolishing anything anymore because it's already demolished by the storm. And therefore, you can then take the wood. Rab Shimon l'tamei d'lesle muktzah. Now, Rab Shimon, now what's your problem? If it fell down on Yom Tov, so what would have been the problem? That it was muktzah. Because when Yom Tov came in, you weren't planning it. It was part of your roof, and you weren't able to take it. So he says, Rab Shimon doesn't hold of this problem of muktzah. D'tanya, how do I know Rab Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah? We mentioned it 100 times, and now the Gemara decides to prove that Rab Shimon holds this. D'tanya, within the Nebraisa, Moser HaShemen Shebenev Shebekaira, if you had a candle lit on when Shabbos came in, or it was an oil candle or a plate with oil in it, and then it went out. It's also, you cannot take the leftover oil after the candle went out, and Rav Shimon is matir. Why? Because it's not muktzah. So while the candle's burning, you can't take it out, takke, but as soon as the candle goes out, you can take the oil. So the Gemara asked me, Domi, how can you compare the oil in the candle to the schach on the roof? Hasam, why would Rav Shimon say that you can take the oil and the candle? Because Adam Yeshiva Mitzapa, Emasatikova. A person knows the candle is going to go out at some point. So therefore, it wasn't really muktzah in the first place. Because when Shabbos came in, yes, he couldn't take it. But he knew at that point that at some time during Shabbos, the candle will go out and I'll get the leftover oil. So he had that in mind in the first place. It wasn't really muktzah. Because he had in mind that when the candle goes out, I'm going to take the oil. Because he knows it's going to go out. It's not going to burn forever. But hacha, when a person has his sukkah on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, Adam Yeshu Mitzapa, Emesai Tepel Sukkosai, does a person sit there and thinking, oh, great, the sukkah will fall down soon, and then I can take the wood. A person doesn't think that. A person puts up a sukkah on Erev Yom Tov, and he hopes that it's going to stay there the whole Yom Tov. Yeah, so therefore, how can you compare it to Reb Shimon's oil in the candle? It's Amar of Nachum.
I'm missing, why is it say so, if you said it's an extra bundle sitting on top?
No, this is a different answer. This isn't talking about what's an extra bundle.
So what is it? Just
it's wood on top.
But it's extra wood. You don't need it. So why is it say so?
Because once you put it together with your schach, it's part of the roof.
Okay.
Yeah. So Amar Nachum Bayitzak Hacha Besukkah Ra'ua Askinan Deme Esmal Daiti Luya. We're talking about where the sukkah was very flimsy in the first place. So even when Yontif came in, you kind of expected it to fall over, and therefore you would you already had in mind, hey, I'm going to use it tomorrow when it falls over, or as Mer Halak would say, Mizol Zoicha Zitzin and Sukkos David Hamefelas. Okay, weiter wir schauen mit Sukkah Sachag und Chag sie Asura the on Sukkah the Sukkah stick Sukkah on Sukkah then you're not allowed to take anything off it but im his da love a call if it's noi you can make a condition when Sukkah comes in that I'm not making my Sachag muktzen if I decide to take it off in the middle of Sukkah I can't Fred the Gemara Mima Hani but it's not is a condition going to help you Omar of Sheishas Vishum Rabbi Akiva Menayin La'atzei Sukkah Shasur in Kol Shiva how do I know that the wood of the sukkah, that means the schach, is osur for a whole 7 days. You're not allowed to take it. Shanemar chaga sukkah shivas yarin l'Hashem. The holiday of sukkah is 7 days for Hashem. V'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Eimer. Minayin, how do I know? Shekashem shechol shem shamayim alachagigo. Just like the holiday is l'Hashem. Chaga sukkah is l'Hashem. Just like the holiday of is 7 days for Hashem. Kach kol shem, that's what's called shem shamayim is on it. That the sukkah is also has the Shem Shemayim on it, that it's Hashem's sukkah, if you like. Talmud Lemah, Chag HaSukkah, Shiva Shem LaShem. It compares the Chag to the sukkahs. Ma Chag LaShem, Av Sukkah LaShem. So the sukkah belongs to Hashem for the whole 7 days, and therefore you're not allowed to take it, and you can't make any conditions. You can't make a condition to take something that's osur and make it mutter. It's Omer of Mansha Bre Derava, Seifa Son the Sukkah the Alma. That very last sentence that says that a sukkah, that when he made a tznai, everything goes according to the tznai, that's not talking about the sukkah sachag b'chag. That's going back to talk about a sukkah that's just there for entertainment. Yeah? So you can't make, it's right, it's true, you cannot make a condition on the sukkahs, a sukkah on sukkahs, but you could make a condition on a sukkah that's not for sukkahs, yeah, that I'm going to take from it tomorrow, so you have that in mind, and then your condition will help that it's not muktzah. Yeah, so what are you going to tell me? So what did you conclude then? Of a sukkah, the mitzvah lo mahani, but it's not. You're telling me that a sukkah, now he's playing devil's advocate. 1 minute. So first he said, how can you make a tznai on a sukkah, the mitzvah? And then so he said, okay, you can't. So he says, oh, you can't? So he's asking back the other way now. You can't make it. Who says you cannot make a tznai on a sukkah, shal mitzvah? Sukkah, the mitzvah lo? V'atan, you learned in a braisa. Sikha kil chasav, a person put the proper schach on a sukkah, and then itra, then he decorated the sukkah, and they hanging things from the ceiling. Kromim, which is, I've forgotten.
Colored cloth.
I'll tell you in a second. Colored cloth, you beat me to it. Yeah, big day tzivonim, colored cloth. And sadinim, which is white sheets. Amatsuyorim with pictures on them. Vitalaba egeizim, where he hung there some nuts and shkedim, walnuts and almonds and farsakim and peaches and rimonim and pomegranates and parchile yanovim. And little containers of grapes and yenos, wine and shmanim and oils and saltos and flour, vatoros.
Shibolim.
Yeah,
something of grain.
Vatoros shibolim and sheaves of grain, So you hung up decorations, basically, yeah? So you hung up decorations. Is osali stapik mehem ad motzi yontav achmer tshachav. You can't use it until the end of the last day of Sukkos. But im hisna alayem. But if you made a condition that you're not planning to set them aside for that, you're not makta them, hakol afitnoi, then it does work. So you can take the things, even though it belongs to Hashem, you can take it if you made the condition. So how does it work? Is Abaye v'Rava d'Amitavaya? Abaye and Rava both answered. But when a person says before Yom Tov starts, "Eini b'idl mehem kol ben hashmoshes," the condition works only in a certain way. How does it work? That you say that ben hashmoshes, as the Yom Tov is coming in, then I am not separating myself from it. I still have in mind that I want to eat the pomegranates and drink the wine. So then, the lechala kedusha layu, then there's no kedusha on it. If it didn't happen, ben hashmoshes, when yantav comes in, then it doesn't apply for the whole 7 days. Aval eitzes, so that's about the decorations. But aval eitzes sukkah, but the actual schach, he can't say that by the schach. Yeah, the lechala kedusha layu, that the schach, the kedusha comes on it, he can't say, I don't want the schach to be part of the schach for the when it comes in. Is his katsoy l'shiva? Then itake is mukta the whole 7 days. So the schach is a problem the whole 7 days, but the decorations, you can, if you have in mind that you're going to use those decorations, and when the yantav comes in, then it doesn't become mukta. Fred the Gemara, Maishna, why is that different? Mehadi itmar, hifrish shiva esregim m'shiva yom. A person bought 7 esregim for the 7 days of yantav. Loved Afka 7 because one of the days is Shabbos, but whatever. Yeah. He got an esrog for each day of Yom Tov. It's Omar Rav. So what do you do with your 7 esrogim? Kol achas v'yachas yoytzaba v'oichla la'alter. Each day you can make the bracha on the esrog and eat it, and the next day you'll use the next esrog. So you got a new esrog for each day. So you're allowed to eat the esrog as soon as you've done the mitzvah. V'ravasi Omar kol achas yoytzaba v'oichla machar. Ravasi says, no, it's muktzah l'mitzvasai, and therefore you have to wait till the next day to eat it. But even according to Ravasi, it's only muktzah for the day. So how come when sukkahs came in, if it was muktzah there, and you're saying it's muktzah for the whole 7 days, how come with the esrog, it's only muktzah for the day you're using it? And to next day, first day Chol HaMoed, it's not muktzah anymore. Yeah? Good, even if it's muktzah when Yom Tov comes in.
You've designated 7, over here you've only designated 1. You've clearly designated 7 esrogim.
Yeah. Whereas the sukkah you need the next day.
But you haven't designated anything. You haven't thought about it.
With the sukkah, you haven't.
Right.
That's a difference.
Why can't you take a sukkah apart on?
You could if you have 7 sukkahs and every day you're going into another sukkah.
I'm
going
to go to your sukkah in a second.
Okay, so then maybe I'll do it.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says
because it's okay.
Yeah, just like if a person had 7 esrogim, if a person doesn't need the esrog anymore, that's the fact that he doesn't need the esrog is a sort of a side point. Yeah,
well, you can go to his friend and get another esrog.
Okay, so if he's planning to use a different esrog, then he's allowed to. So why doesn't it say there's anything by sukkah? Yeah, if you let's say you're going to the Rebbe on Chol HaMoed, so you should be allowed to take apart your sukkah Chol HaMoed. Yeah, it doesn't say that. It says there's muktzah the whole 7. So he answers, because Hasam de Mafsakul Leilas Meyomim, by the Esrig, there's no mitzvah of Esrig at night. Esrig is only in the day. And therefore, the night is a hefsik between one day's Esrig and the next. And therefore, Kol Chad V'Chad Yoyimah Mitzvah Be'apin Nafshu. Each day is a separate mitzvah. And therefore, when it's muktzah l'mitzvah, it's only for that day. Because tomorrow, it's a different muktzah. It's a different mitzvah. But the sukkah you have to sit in the night also. So there's no hefsik. The mitzvah of sukkah is continuous from the beginning of the first day till the end of the seventh day. And therefore, kul hu yoyma kechada yoyma richta dami. Therefore, all the 7 days are considered like one long day. And therefore, by the sukkah, you may not take it apart in the middle.
What about the guy who says you could eat la'alta before there's a hefsik?
According to him, there's no muktzah altogether. So that's
because
clearly
this
not
doesn't answer the question. The guy, no, he answered the question according to that.
Right, but the question is only according to him. No, according to him, he's obviously.